You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Stop the open of the show, okay? Over the weekend, I went up to Sacramento, where I grew up, right? And my high school, my graduating high school class was having a get-together. Not a full-blown reunion, but it's kind of funny because guys who were kind of... I wouldn't say they were mean guys in high school, but they weren't the nicest guys in high school. A guy named Jay Poses. Like, Jay was kind of mean guy, but if you knew him, he was nice to you. But if you didn't know him, like, he could be mean. He could be mean to you. And I knew him, so he was nice to me, right? And we played baseball together, and we came from the same part of Sacramento. So he and another friend, a friend named Lindy Smith, they started getting guys from my high school class. And again, I went to an all-boys Catholic high school in Sacramento called Christian Brothers High School. And they started getting guys together. And I think we had such a good time at one of the reunions. They're like, why did we wait 5 years to do this stuff? Which would make sense, right? For me to start the show today, I should play a different song, right? It's a song that we used to hear at Mass, and every time we used to go to Mass on Fridays. I don't think every Friday we went, but on some Fridays we went. Or maybe we went every Friday, hell, I can't remember. It's been a few years, So, this is a song, though, that we would sing when... in Mass, or it would get played, because it was on the radio, and whenever I've heard it since, I have the MP3, whether I played it in Iraq or Afghanistan, it always took me to them. It always took me to that feeling that, that you got, being around that group of guys, and I knew, like, some of the guys that were there over the weekend, I've known for 52 years, maybe, no, longer than that. I met him when I was 5, so I've known some of those guys for 56 years of my life. Yeah, how about that? Amazing. And so I need to start the show with a song, and you'll know, you've heard the song if you're old enough, you grew up in the 60s, or the 70s, you've heard the song.
No, no. he ain't heavy. He's my brother.
Mind you, Christian Brothers High School.
He ain't heavy. He's my brother.
I love that song, man. Like I said, I mean, when we'd play sports, man, our football team, what they had across the front of their jersey was the word brothers. And then we'd kick everybody's ass. We'd kick everybody's ass. Yeah, we used to catch a fair amount of shit for going to an all-boys Catholic school. And the world really hadn't undertaken sensitivity training yet. Anyway, so my friend, like, Jay, like the not very nice guy in high school, who's now like really nice guy and thoughtful guy. It's amazing how that happens, right? But he's still funny. He's still Jay. So anyway, Jay, I muted him on Facebook because he was starting in like March. He dogged me. Hey, you got to come in. I'm like, Jay, if I'm not doing anything, you know I'll be there. I love that stuff. And then he's like, out of the blue, like on a Tuesday, like, hey, Mike, you got to come. I'm like, all right, Jay, you got to stop doing this, man. I told you, I will be there. So I drive up Friday. It took me 3 hours to get through Los Angeles. But it didn't really matter because the Yankee game was on. So I was happy. And then I drive up I-5, which I think I've done about 500,000 times. I-5 straight as a bowling alley. And the good part is that everybody going 90 miles an hour. Once you get through Los Angeles, about another 4 hours. So anyway. I get there Friday night and then get up Saturday. I stay with my cousin Tom. My cousin Tom's like a brother to me. His son, Joe, and both of his sons, Joe and Jim, are home. So always fun hanging out with them. It's like a second home for me, Tom's house. And his lovely wife Julie. I'm giving them shit because their youngest, actually two of their kids, have Crohn's disease. And that once somebody gets Crohn's disease, man, all the fun food goes out of the house, man. And I'm like, man, I'm like so anti-Crohn's right now. Like, come on, can't we get a potato chip or something to eat? Like, what the hell? No. So, anyway. At noon on Saturday, I go over. 32 guys from my class show up at Ken Whitehall's house in East Sacramento. A part of Sacramento I'd never been to, right? When I grew up there. I'm driving, I'm like, I've never been to this part of Sacramento. I was a Southside kid, and Kenny lives over in East Sacramento. So I get out of the car, and who's getting out of his car across the street? The mean guy, Jay Poses. So he looks at me, and he says, oh, my God, you came. He said, you didn't? I said, I muted your ass, man. He said, what? I said, that's right, I muted your ass. He's like unbelievable. So It was just talk about, on this show, when we talk about post-traumatic winning, you know, one of the two things you fight is isolation. And, you know, again, I've known, like, two of the guys that were there I've known since I was 5 years old. I went to kindergarten with them. And Mario Rodriguez and Steve Sewell. And they were both there. And, you know, you walk around the corner and you see them, right? Or they walk in and you just start laughing like, dude, what is up? And so we hung out, for 5 hours or so together. Took a team picture and just laughed the whole day. So I just want to tell them, because I'm gonna cut this up and send it to them, what an awesome time it was. Thank Ken Whitehall for donating his backyard so that we could get together and just tell them what a great time it was. And you know, we were discussing, like, and I don't live in Sacramento, right? So I got to get up there. But they did one in the spring, and I said, you know, do one in the fall, and there's more people that were our friends. They weren't necessarily in our class, and let's drag their asses to this. And they were like, yeah, because, you know, if you were an athlete, you played with guys older than you and younger than you, and they were your friends, or just guys who you knew that were older, or you know, just guys that you went to school with. And and again, maybe we don't do that at somebody's house. We just pick a bar that's owned by somebody who went to Christian Brothers High School, or there's two girls' schools that were near ours. So when we had dances, like, those three schools would kind of get together. And I mean, it was the girls that we went to grammar school with, right? So pick a bar that somebody owns that's from, you know, that's from one of those schools, and see if they have a back room, and we'll just go hang out and watch football and talk shit and laugh. But I say that to say this. The whole isolation thing, right? So when you look at my class, there's a spectrum of everything. We have guys in our class. One of my classmates, a guy named Larry Guile, he's like the census taker, right? Who's alive, who's dead, email address, on there on Facebook. And so Larry does an awesome job of doing that. Joe Perfecto, a professional photographer. He took the team picture, which is pretty fun. But we're like any other group. You know, we have guys that are struggling with health. A good friend of mine, Doug Bruce. And you know, what's interesting is even the guys that I went to high school with. So I wouldn't have met them till I was, 14 years old, when you're a freshman in high school. We started playing sports against each other because of the sports program that the high school had. The high school put together what was called the Parochial Athletic League. So all the Catholic schools competed in football. We played full-on tackle football, but we wore flags. Yeah, I don't know why, but we did. I don't know, maybe it was an insurance thing. So, and you had to tackle them and then pull the flag by the time that you got them to the ground, or it was called tackling. Yeah, now in retrospect, it was kind of stupid. But anyway, and yeah, I'm sure it was for insurance reasons. But we, you know, full contact, full gear. That's when your head, that's how I got taught. Like, I got taught when I was in fifth grade that my head was a weapon.
Yeah.
McNamara, why do you think that thing's on your head? Like, I'm not sure. It's a weapon, okay? When we put a helmet on it, it's a weapon. You're supposed to hit somebody with it. Okay. Okay, Mr. Frazzinetti. Yeah. Jim Frazzinetti, my JV football coach in fifth grade. But anyway, so we started competing with each other in like fifth grade. So even the guys that I would go to high school with, I knew of them. And there was great men that influenced us, right? I mean, the guys who were our coaches, they were veterans. They were, I went to St. Charles. Friends of mine showed up. They were They showed up, their brothers, right? Jerry and John Slaughter. They're not even in our class, but they hung out with us. Their dad, Harry, was the first black fire chief in Sacramento, California, in 1970. Which gives you some idea, right? Yeah, the black guys didn't get promoted in 1970, okay? Which means he would have had to get promoted all through the 60s. And so it gives you some sense of the kind of men that influenced our lives and shaped us as young guys playing sports. And I was telling Jerry and John, I said, man, I remember your dad and his St. Anne's colors were blue and white. I said, your dad used to wear white pants, and they fell out laughing. He'd wear that blue windbreaker, and he'd be yelling and going up and down the sideline. I said, your dad's a great man. And in the years since, I've thought about that. I didn't think about it at the time, but you know, as the years have gone by, you think about people that influenced your life and all the kids that they influenced as they were the mainstays at different schools, but. To go back to my thing about isolation, it's the warmest, happiest place to be among your friends. And even if you're going through tough things in life, you know, to reconnect with your friends, you know, to help your friends, you know, and just for them to know that you're there if they need you, I think is incredibly important. And I want to encourage everybody. To do those kind of things. And I hope, I threatened Jay last night. I said, Jay, you don't move too good anymore. All right. So, right. I can get after you now. And, I would do that, but, maybe. And he would accept it. He knows he deserves it. But, yeah, let's just do something on that's easy and hang out and watch football on a Saturday. And, you know, nobody has to get put out. You know, if we do it at a bar, you know, we all pay for our own stuff, so it's easy peasy. But bring somebody else with you that went to our school that was your friend and, you know, just build the thing out. Because it was so much fun. It was so much fun and so good to see those guys. And, again, I going to a Catholic school was a little bit different. There was always the expectation we would treat people well. Now, we didn't always do that, but we would get our asses chewed for it, right? We would get our asses chewed if our conduct did not reflect, you know, what, you know, the people that taught us thought it should be in the good tradition of what it was to be a Catholic. I remember going to Mass with my school. Right? With all four classes, we'd be in the gym, and our teachers would be sitting amongst us, so we wouldn't screw around. But I just remember how cool it was. Guys playing music, us singing, or mumbling, or whatever we did. But it was a good school, and, you know, no women. And all that meant was we had more fun. We laughed. There wasn't the tension that went on with girls or the paint and play stuff that went on with girls. We just went to school and we laughed and we, you know, we busted balls and we had a great time. And so, it was wonderful to do that. I would encourage everybody, you know, to get connected with with the people that you grew up with, right? And again, it's that isolation thing. And, you know, we all have devices and there's Facebook and yet there's more and more people that feel isolated in the world. And so we can do something about that. So anyway, I had an awesome weekend. If you can't tell. And you know what? I would love to do a version of post-traumatic winning up there. So, I'm going to work on that. A friend of mine named Chris Gandy, who was a couple years ahead of me, who should have been there on Saturday. He's trying to get me up to Sacramento to do it. And so he just sent me an email last week or a text last week saying, hey man, I haven't forgotten. I said, you know, I was just thinking about your ass last week, wondering where the hell you were. He goes, come on man, don't be like that. And I started laughing. So anyway, get connected, right? And not only just for you, but certainly for you. Get connected because other people need you. And that those communities, those ties are so strong still, you know, the way you feel about each other and all the different stuff that you did together. And they're still the same people. And they still laugh the same way. And even if they don't look the same, now, most of us don't. But anyway, very cool. Now, let me tell you another cool thing, what we're going to do on the show today. In about 41 minutes, so 5 minutes after 9 o'clock Pacific, Ron Reyes is going to join us. Now, you met Ron Reyes, I don't know, a year or so ago? And Ron, Ron is a Gold Star son. His father was killed in Vietnam. I think he was a part of 1st Battalion, 9th Marines. And he... So Ron went to Vietnam years ago. I had him on to talk about, I don't know how I ran across Ron. I must have just been reading maybe a feed on Facebook. But he talked about being part of Gold Star, kids. And on Father's Day, they go to the Vietnam Wall in Washington, D.C., and they're allowed, they have a picnic there. They make Father's Day cards because they grew up not making them. And they make Father's Day cards. They're allowed to clean the wall. I think the only group that's allowed to do that. And so he connected with all these other Gold Star kids. Kids he didn't, you know, he was the only one, right, when he grew up. And so he connected with all these other people. So he ultimately goes to Vietnam. And he went back. And he got back, I don't know, a little bit ago. And I saw him writing about it again. So you're gonna do... Volume 2 with Ron Reyes. He's going to talk about his most recent trip to Vietnam, which he didn't do with the group, so it was just him going for him. And so we'll hear about that. But, you know, in the first interview, one of the things he said that, you know, it still buckles my knees when I think about it is that at his father's funeral, now his mom and his dad were not even married. At his father's funeral in Los Angeles, there was a piece of glass over his body in the open casket part of it, and his mom laid him. He was a baby; he was only months old. She laid him on the glass, and she did that because she knew that was as close as he would ever be to his father. And you hear that, and it's just like. And then his mom raised him, and Ron's he's a good dude, and you hear that. And then, you know, Ron told a story about the first time that he connected with the guys of his dad's company, and they went crazy. This is Ronnie's kid. And he said, I did not know that I was part of this thing, man. I said, you're part of us, man. You're the kid of a Marine. That means you're in the tribe. He said, I didn't know that, though. So it was a really cool interview. If you want to listen to it, his name is Reyes. So all you got to do is do a search on that on the website, and you'll see the interview. It's a really cool interview, really cool. So we're going to do really cool again today. So anyway, good morning after a really cool weekend for me. The United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Good morning. And this is dedicated to the Christian Brothers class of 1976. My friends who, and in particular, you know, guys like Ken Whitehall and Jay Poses and Lindy Smith and whoever else, you know, does the heavy lifting so that we could all get together. But to my classmates, we were the centennial high school class, the 100th class of our high school. But there, I have such good friends. And man, I'll tell you what, I laughed. I mean, all you do is you sit around and laugh. You talk shit and you laugh. I mean, we go back to, you know, eighth grade, seventh and eighth grade, playing against each other, you know, St. Charles against St. Anne's, against St. Pat's, against Holy Spirit, against All Hallows, against St. Francis, you know, like I mean, we were Catholics, man. We didn't, like, participation wasn't what we were doing. We were representing our school and coming in first place. That was important. St. Pat's beat us. And I'm still not good with it, man. I'm still not good with it. And we had really good athletes, too. I mean, our football teams would win the city championship, you know, and we had good athletes. And our shit started in, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade when we were in grammar school getting after each other. And, yeah, I don't like, but I am not good with it. But this is dedicated to my high school class of 76, right, up from Christian Brothers High School. The best.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low-paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marine. And the infantry got its name, infantry young soldier. And I enjoyed being around him. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda anytime you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, CFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right. Time to check the weather around Marineland. Currently in Northern Virginia at Marine Corps Base Quantico, sunny in 89. Down the coast, Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, it is partly cloudy in 88. Across the country, 29 Palms, California, partly sunny in 83. So 29 Palms cooled off a little bit. They had a fair amount of heat there last week, but it broke. Actually, driving home yesterday through the San Joaquin Valley, which you normally see around this time of year, temperatures between 95 and 110. It was a balmy 84 degrees, so pretty nice day in the valley yesterday. Partly cloudy and 83 in 29 Palms. Cloudy in 65, Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton. Dark clear in 78 in the Hawaiian Islands, where Camp Smith is. In Okinawa, it is cooled off as well a little bit. Cloudy, dark, and 81 in the Al Anbar province of Iraq, where Special Purpose MAGTAP hangs out. It is sunny and 104 late in the day there, and in the early evening in Afghanistan in the Helmand province, where Task Force Southwest is, it's cooled off remarkably. It is clear, dark, and 85 degrees. Last week they were 100 degrees or more. When the sun wasn't up, yeah, that's when you know it's hot. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is cloudy and 69, looking for a high today of 78, beautiful degrees. Yup. Yeah, and fly tomorrow to Colorado Springs. Actually, fly to Denver, drive to Colorado Springs. Get ready to do post-traumatic winning at the Air Force Academy, and fired up to do that. And so, pretty exciting week. Fly back on Thursday. Interview General Zinni about discipline Thursday afternoon. Do post-traumatic winning on Friday at Camp Pendleton for 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines. And then fly to North Carolina on Sunday to spend the week with the 2nd Marine Division. Hopefully members of the 3rd Infantry Division are going to come up and check it out, of the United States Army. So that's exciting. So cool stuff going on. Busy couple weeks. We'll take a break. We'll check the news next. And Ronnie Reyes is going to join us in about 25 minutes. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right. Check some news headlines now before Ronnie Reyes joins us here on a Monday. So there might be a few abbreviated shows this week, just so everybody knows. Just want to prepare you for that. Probably even over the course of the next couple weeks. I do the best I can, but if something has to give, normally it's a live portion of the show when I'm out doing post-traumatic winning and then speaking and then talking to people after that and then going different things. And so, all right, you've been warned, so don't be bitching to me. All right, some interesting stories in the news. A Marine from Stars and Stripes faces a military hearing over firearms allegations. A Marine stationed in Hawaii faces a military hearing this week after officials say he tried to enter an Air Force base while off duty and heavily armed in his home state of Nebraska. PFC Ali Al-Kazag, 22, is in custody in Hawaii on allegations that he tried to enter Offutt Air Force Base with two semi-automatic rifles, a pistol, a silencer, a bump stock, a vest with body armor, and a case of ammunition while on leave. His arrest came a week after he was listed on a law enforcement alert for making threats, the Omaha World Herald reported. A preliminary military court hearing at Marine Corps Base Hawaii is scheduled for Wednesday. A hearings officer is expected, this is the Article 32, like his arraignment, right? A hearings officer is expected to recommend whether charges, including carrying a concealed weapon, possessing modified firearms, making threats, and fraudulent enlistment should go on his court-martial. Al-Kazag was visiting Nebraska, where he grew up, when guards stopped his pickup truck on May 31st at an Offutt gate after seeing his name on a law enforcement be on the lookout bulletin, which is called a BOLO alert. The World Herald, which obtained the bulletin, reported Al-Kazag was listed because he told another Marine he would, quote, shoot up the battalion starting at the barracks, unquote, if he were disciplined for certain misconduct. He also mentioned specific Marines he wanted to target, the newspaper reported. The bulletin said Al-Kazag didn't make any threats against anyone in Nebraska. His sister believes he had zero intentions of hurting anyone and said he had most of his belongings, including his guns, in his truck because he'd been staying with friends. She then went on to say that her brother went to Offutt to work out in the gym. She believes her brother, the son of Iraqi refugees, was targeted because of his race. She said other Marines have called him Muslim, even though he's Christian, and throwed bacon on his bed. Marine Corps has denied that the charges are racially motivated and said it doesn't tolerate racism or bullying. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen, though. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And that's only if he were to say, okay, I'm going to report all you guys. And then you have to suffer the slings and arrows that go with that. So I'm not saying that I believe what he's saying, but I'm telling you there's a little bit of truth to that. You get bullied by your peers and you say stuff, you know, while you're talking shit or whatnot. Do you mean it? But you know what? In this day and age, is anybody willing to take the chance that he doesn't mean it if you say those things? Over the weekend, the Islamic State claimed credit for an attack on a wedding that killed number I saw was 63 people dead. Headline, Afghanistan vows to crush Islamic State havens after the attack. Many outraged Afghans ask whether an approaching deal between the United States and the Taliban to end nearly 18 years of fighting, America's longest war, will bring peace to long-suffering civilians or more bloodshed. Both the bride and groom survived, and in an emotional interview with local broadcaster Tolo News, the distraught groom, Mirwaz Alani, said their lives were devastated within seconds. Again, I don't know anybody that's optimistic about the future of Afghanistan. You know, somebody's got to win that conflict between the Taliban, or some peace deal has to get brokered that And doing that means you're going to share money. Money and power, which is the root of all of it. Another story. I had not seen a story like this. Headline, we are dropping like flies. X-Fighter pilots push for earlier cancer screening. Former Air Force and Navy fighter pilots are calling on the military to begin cancer screenings for aviators as young as 30 because of increased number of deaths from the disease that they suspect may be tied to radiation emitted in the cockpit. Quote, we're dropping like flies in our 50s from aggressive cancer, said retired Air Force Colonel Eric Nelson, a former F-15E Strike Eagle weapons officer. He cited prostate and esophageal cancers, lymphoma, that have struck fellow pilots he knew, commanded with, or flew. Nelson's prostate cancer was first detected at age 48, just 3 months after he retired from the Air Force. In his career, he had more than 2,600 flying hours, including commanding the 455th Air Expeditionary Group in Bagram, Afghanistan, and as commander of 6 squadrons of F-18E fighter jets at the 4th Operations Group at Seymour Johnson Air Force Base in North Carolina. Last month, the McClatchy Newspaper Services reported on a new Air Force study that reviewed the risk of prostate cancer among its fighter pilots and new Veteran Health Administration data showing that the rate of reported cases of prostate cancer per year among veterans using the VA health system across all services had risen 16% since fiscal year 2000. So I had not seen that report. Another story in Stars and Stripes. U.S. Malaysia wrap up 5 days of training near the Straits of Malacca. Now, what's significant about this is the whole dynamic of the Chinese, right? And you're going to hear a couple more stories before we stop doing the news this morning about the Philippines pushing back, about Vietnam pushing back against China. So we're going to see if China can successfully play the emperor's new clothes on everybody else. And they seem to be having their way, and they seem to have kind of run into a little bit of a rough spot here recently. Another interesting story is written in the Washington Post, but I saw it in Stars and Stripes. Top CEOs say maximizing profits can no longer be the primary corporate goal. Well, what is it? The new statement released Monday by the Business Roundtable suggests balancing the needs of a company's various constituencies and comes at a time of widening income inequality, rising expectations from the public for corporate behavior, and proposals from Democratic lawmakers that aim to revamp or even restructure American capitalism. Quote, Americans deserve an economy that allows each person to succeed through hard work and creativity and to lead a life of meaning and dignity. The statement from the organization, which is chaired by J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon. The group says its members share a fundamental commitment to all of our stakeholders and commit to doing well by their customers, employees, suppliers, and communities. Each of our stakeholders is essential. We commit to deliver value to all of them for the future success of our companies, our communities, and our country. You know, what's interesting about this is, okay, so are you willing to fundamentally restructure the way you compensate? Are you willing to pay people that don't have PhDs, you know, instead of paying them $15 an hour, are you able, will you pay them, right, $25 an hour so they can be middle class, maybe if both husband and wife work, upper middle class? Are you willing to go from a 401k plan to a defined benefit plan like their grandfathers had? Because all the industries that used to have those kind of benefits for the quote-unquote middle class of this country have all left the country. Not all, but a vast majority have. And so you see that widening gap. North America Free Trade Agreement. was an exporter of jobs. Now, maybe for the consumer at the end of the day, that was good. You get your soccer ball cheaper. You get your toilet paper cheaper. But was it good for the country? Was it good for the American worker? I don't think you could make that case. So, interesting little story. Hold on. Let me do a fleet news tracker here. Tell you where all the major battle groups are. The carrier, this John Stennis, is in Norfolk. The Boxer amphibious group is in the Persian Gulf, transiting, I think, out of the Abraham Lincoln carrier strike group is off the coast of India and Pakistan. The Ronald Reagan is in the carrier strike group, is in the Western Pacific. So there's your update. The USS Porter was in the Black Sea. Remember that? Kind of as the United States continues to stick its finger in Russia's chest. Here you go. And we'll make a port call in Turkey, of all places. And we have not had the best relationships with them, but the port needs to make money, and it's always good when ships with a lot of money come in, and American ships tend to have a lot of money. All those sailors at sea for long periods of time. The Coast Guard eyes expanded operations in the Western Pacific. We've talked about that. Enforcing things that the United States Navy cannot enforce. So, interesting. A couple other interesting stories. Philippines pushes back against the Chinese militia and their South China Sea presence. So, the Chinese militia in, quote-unquote, fishing boats, right? That's how the Chinese do it. They are the equivalent of Russia's little green men, right? And they, you know, they ram boats. They do all kinds of, you know, crappy stuff to Filipino fishing vessels. They go where the Chinese don't want you to go. The Philippines have begun to push back against the strong and sustained presence of Beijing's paramilitary ships in the South China Sea, calling the deployment of Chinese militia ships in huge numbers a threat. Manila filed two diplomatic protests last month. And again, this is exists side by side President Duterte's little bit of a romance, as Grant Newsham talked last week. He is suspected of having been on the Chinese payroll for a long, long period of time. And so he has this kind of love-hate relationship now with everybody. But Manila, even though they won a decision at The Hague, right, relative to maritime rights in the Spratly Islands, you know, and that China had no legal claim to any of those reefs that they've since fortified, the Philippines did not push back. They did file, though, two diplomatic protests last month against swarming presence of militia vessels in waters surrounding Pasaga Island, its biggest occupied island in the South China Sea, in the Spratly Island chain. The diplomatic notes also covered the undeclared passage of four Chinese warships within its territorial waters since February of this year, and the sailing of Beijing's aircraft carrier last month in Mindanao waters in the southern Philippines. So that would be the equivalent of somebody like driving off your coast and flipping you the bird. Like, what are you going to do? And that stuff doesn't tend to go on. It doesn't tend to go on unless it's authorized by the parent nation, right? Like, the Navy just doesn't do that on its own. Anyway, one more story that's of significance about the Navy that I wanted to, just a headline. A story written by Megan Eckstein. New junior officer deck course showing results boosting young surface warfare officer competency. Now, the Navy took a series of reforms. They had done away with their junior or their surface warfare officer school and sent people a series of discs and sent them on their way. Right? Go to your ship, study the ship. It's that easy. Well, truth be told, driving a ship isn't easy. And and the United States Navy found out the hard way. 17 sailors lost their lives. Stories out of San Diego. The Navy is continuing its drive to better train junior surface warfare officers, rolling out new courses in San Diego and Norfolk as to train to increase the overall proficiency of these officers before they show up on ships. Quote, we wanted to get a sense of what was the general knowledge and the competency of the OODs from a random sampling. This is Vice Admiral Brown. Brown told USNI News in an interview this week, saying the results showed a normal distribution with some high performers, many showing a couple deficiencies, and some showing more significant concerns. In a memo released in June, he called the results sobering. Okay, so that they canvassed the fleet, and those were the results like they got. Since they started the courses, the Admiral has taken five graduates, ensigns, headed out to the fleet, and he went to the ship, put them through the prospective commanding officer's go, no-go assessment scenario, and four of the five passed. That's 80%. Quote, are these guys fully qualified OODs when they get on board? Absolutely not. But we're moving that curve to the right, and I'm very pleased with that. So, anyway, so that's a good thing for the Navy. They had some work to do, and there's nothing they can do about what's in the past, and so hopefully they'll get it right now, right? Hopefully they'll get it right. In terms of Marine Corps stories, there's not a whole lot new in the land of the Marine. So we'll real quick go over the top five stories in Early Bird, and then Ron Ray is going to join us. Number one, North Korea's Kim expresses great satisfaction over the weapons test. Of course he would. Number two, Iran tanker heads to Greece after release. Iran warns U.S. against any seizure attempt. Pretty scary. Number three, former Army lineman gets waiver to play in the NFL. Former Army football standout Brett Toth will have a chance to go pro after Army officials signed a waiver allowing him to bypass the remainder of his military commitment and instead sign with an NFL team. Now, historically, if you go to an academy, you owe 5 or 6 years of service. He evidently signed with the Philadelphia Eagles. He graduated from the United States Military Academy at West Point in 2018. Under existing Defense Department rules, he was required to serve at least 2 years in the active duty Army before being considered for a waiver to pursue a professional sports career, but President Donald Trump announced he wanted to revisit the rules, saying it would make recruiting a little bit easier for the service academy sports teams. In June, White House officials announced Trump had instructed Pentagon officials to develop new rules. Toth, who's listed as 6'6" and nearly 300 pounds in the Army Football Media Guide, would join the Philadelphia Eagles and begin practicing with them. So, congratulations to him. And I think the president's probably right. If you could raise the visibility of the academy teams, it's probably not a bad thing. It's like the Blue Angels rolling around. Back in the day, right, Army and Navy were pretty impressive, football teams. So, number four story, OSI, right, Office of Special Investigations, found no proof of an unprofessional relationship in the General Hayden sexual assault investigation, and the polygraph was inconclusive. So that was much in the news, right? And from my perspective, what was going to be interesting was, could you survive even the accusation? And he evidently has. Number five, Trump okays the F-16 sale to Taiwan amid Chinese tensions. That's huge in terms of pushing back on China. And our past presidents haven't done that. because they've been afraid of what every other country has been afraid of, which is pursue policies in your own best interest and the interest of the free world, because China might get pissed at you and choke off your economy. So, again, one of the things that bothers me, and then we'll take a break, one of the things that bothers me about the American taxpayer is paying for a tariff. The American economy is paying for being locked out of China while China's goods flood the United States. But you don't hear that part of it. Okay? And so you got jackasses like Shepard Smith who tell one side of a story. And so if at some point this has to get right. It has to get right. And you got to confront China economically. And they've got to somehow or other learn to exist in the world of free nations. They don't want to do that. They want to bend the whole world. And the free nations of the world have to stand up collectively and say, we're not having that. So, all right, we'll take a break. Ron Ray is going to join us next. More of All Marine Radio on a Monday. Coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.